From the towering Wasatch Mountains of the American Southwest, we welcome you to this episode of Undiscovered Utah. This show focuses on the mysteries that surround the rugged, difficult, and sometimes deadly American Southwest. I'm your host, JB, and tonight I have some explaining to do. You see, the plan was to broadcast live from the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, and we did at least one episode, but we had planned to do many more. I apologize that we didn't accomplish that goal, and we will try and do better next time. We had such a great time showing some of our loyal listeners the area around the Grand Staircase National Monument, that by the end of each day, we were just absolutely exhausted. The thought of sitting down and trying to publish an episode of the podcast had lost much of its appeal. I know, that's not very professional of me. So, tonight, I'm going to bring you up to date on our adventures and some of our mishaps. So, in part one, we talked a little bit about the town of Boulder, the Covered Wagon Natural Bridge, Spencer Flat, and other fun places. So, let's continue the saga. On the next day, we decided to show our guests Hole in the Rock. This is a major attraction in the Grand Staircase Escalante Monument, but it's a long way to get there, and it's a rough road. And so a lot of people don't go. It's too rough. But we decided to get up early and make the trip. There are many fun side trips you can do along this road, and we'll discuss them later in the episode. But please don't underestimate the time needed to travel all the way to the end of the road at the Hole in the Rock Historic Site. This is a long way on a graded dirt road that is washboarded and degrades the further you go. At the very end of the road, the last 5 miles or so requires a little rock crawling on slick rock. It's nothing technical, but I did see a few places where vehicles had scraped and left their mark on the slick rock. You are a long way away from any help if you do damage your vehicle. Just know it may cost you dearly to get help in this remote area, but it is absolutely worth the trip. The scenery all the way down the Hole in the Rock Road is phenomenal. The road follows 50-mile mountain. And as we took our trip, we were in our side-by-side, and our guests were in Jeeps. And so the road wasn't much of an issue for us. The Jeeps aired down their tires a little to make the washboard road a little more comfortable. On the way down the road, we stopped at the historic Dance Hall Rock. This is a great place to get out and stretch your legs. There are restrooms here, and with the washboard road, we were grateful for that. We spent some time exploring around the backside of Dance Hall Rock. Many fun little areas to explore. Not far from Dance Hall Rock, you will come across a monument along the side of the road. Stop and read this monument. You'll recognize it because you will be crossing Carcass Wash. But something very tragic and sad happened at this location. You'll want to stop and read that monument. We stopped to eat lunch at 50 Mile Spring. Then it was time to drive to the end. The views of Navajo Mountain are insane from this point on. Navajo Mountain is on the other side of Lake Powell, but you would never know that there was a huge lake just a few miles away. And it seems like Navajo Mountain is well within reach, but It's totally impossible to get to from this location. But what a beautiful area. And like I said, the views were just stunning. If you don't know the story of Hole in the Rock, we did share it in a previous episode. So suffice it to say that the pioneers that made this cut in the rock to cross the mighty Colorado were some very tough souls. It is just amazing to be there in person and try to comprehend what they accomplished. After visiting Hole in the Rock, we drove all the way back to camp without stopping. It was a long day and we were spent. Storm clouds came and went, and there were even a few snow squalls. But we never got snowed on or rained on, and we made it back to camp safely. The next day, we decided to drive over to Kodachrome Basin. Now, Kodachrome State Park is about 30 miles away from the town of Escalante, so it's not really that close. But the surrounding area is still part of the Great Basin National Monument. And Kodachrome Basin is just a gorgeous area. We've always wanted to camp there, but we never have. We have visited it many times, but usually just for an hour or so, and we do a few of the hikes. But they have added quite a few more campgrounds since the last time we were there, so there seems to be plenty of places to camp if you decide to go down there. It's a little bit off the beaten path, so a lot of people don't visit it, and it is just simply gorgeous. Another very popular thing to see down there is Grosvenor's Arch. Now, this has got to be one of the best arches in the state of Utah. And that's saying something, because after all, we have Arches National Park. But this arch is along the Cottonwood Road. So as you leave Kodachrome State Park, you turn left on Cottonwood Road, and you drive for quite a ways. It's further than you think it is. And then you'll come to the pull-off for the arch, and there's a little parking area and restrooms there. But this arch and the hills around are just phenomenal, gorgeous. And we were fortunate enough when we were there that there were storm clouds swirling in the sky above the arch, and it just made for some fantastic pictures. Absolutely stunning. And we pretty much had the place all to ourselves. So if you get the chance, go over to Kodachrome. Go see this arch. You will not be disappointed. We made our way back to camp after that, and that was a long enough day for us. It was a fun day. It was a beautiful day. But we were tired by the time we got home. We'll be posting some photos that we took along the way out on our Undiscovered Utah website. Be sure to check them out. It always takes us longer to get stuff posted up on the website than I would like it to. So I'll try to be patient if you'll try to be patient. But we'll get them posted. The next day, our camp grew in size as more friends and family showed up. The weather was improving every day, but the nights were still in the mid-20s, so it was cold for the folks that were sleeping in tents or in the back of their trucks. On Tuesday, we decided to take everyone over to the town of Boulder and show them the Anasazi State Park. This is a cool place we've been to many times, and we just love it. But as we pulled our train of vehicles up to the parking lot, the gate was closed and locked. And there was a big sign on the gate that said, "Closed for renovation." I was really disappointed. I really wanted, especially the kids, to be able to see this incredibly historic place and to be able to see the artifacts there. Now, if I would have done a little more research and actually gone out to their website in big red letters across the top of their website, it states, notice, Anasazi State Park Museum is closed, get this, as of Monday, December 18th, 2023, for extensive renovations. It is expected to reopen in May of 2024. Well, I didn't go read their website, so I didn't see that. So we drove to Boulder to see that, and it was a total washout again. So we decided, let's go down the bird trail. It's right there outside of Boulder. And this is one of my favorite roads anywhere. I mean, it is so unbelievably gorgeous. You can't even comprehend how pretty this road is. As you leave Boulder, you're in the White Navajo Sandstone, and it's as gorgeous in that area as it is in Zion's National Park. I mean, just beautiful. But as you drop down into the Burr Trail Canyon, you leave the Navajo Sandstone and drop down into the Red Kayenta Formation. On both sides of the road are these towering red canyon walls on both sides as you travel down this very old cattle trail. Makes for some beautiful photos. We pulled off the bird trail once we reached the sign to the Wolverine Trail. That was kind of our main destination for the day, is we wanted to take this Wolverine Trail. Now, none of us had ever done it before. When we pulled off the bird trail, we found a parking area so that we could unload our side-by-sides, and we realized that they were freshly grading the road. And we were, I think, the first vehicles on the road since it was graded. So the road was in fantastic shape. It's a dirt road that makes this huge loop and ends up back on the bird trail fairly close to the switchbacks and the border with the national park. So we started our trek down the Wolverine Trail. One of the main things we wanted to see was the Wolverine Petrified Forest. Now, I've been to petrified forests before. I've been to the one, the state park that's just right out of Escalante, Utah. Really fun places. So I didn't know what to expect with this one. It's within the boundaries of the National Monument, the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. But this is very, very remote country. We were the only people there once we got there. There's a parking area and there's a little sign kiosk thing to tell you about the site. And there's a gate you go through so the cattle and things can't get in there. And then you walk, and you walk, and you walk on this trail that goes in and out of the wash, up and down the hills. And as you go down this trail, you start seeing really nice specimens of petrified wood just off the trail. Beautiful colors, pretty pieces. And for some of the people in our group, that was sufficient. They saw some really pretty pieces of petrified wood. It was a much warmer day this day. Not a lot of shade, just a few junipers here and there. And so they had seen all they wanted to see. For others in our group, they decided to go off trail in hopes of finding kind of the mother load of petrified wood. They wanted to find something nobody else had found, you know, that really big piece of petrified wood. And so they started going up onto some of the cliffs and more strenuous areas to hike. for those of us that stayed on the trail and walked it to its termination point, we were well rewarded. There was petrified wood everywhere. And we're not just talking little pieces, quarter-sized pieces of petrified wood. No, no, no. We're talking trees, full trees. And we're not talking trees like you may have in your front yard. We're talking trees like sequoia-sized trees. I mean, these things were huge. There is no way you could put your arms around the trunks of these trees. They were just ginormous. And they were full trees, petrified. It was amazing. By far, the coolest petrified tree wood area I have ever been in. Just phenomenal. And like I said, it was everywhere. We took some pictures of some of our party standing next to these trees, and people that were 6'1" tall looked like little kids standing next to these things. Just massive. So if you go, if you make the effort to go down the Wolverine Trail, and I'm sure the road isn't always going to be fantastic. We got lucky and went right after it was graded. And the trail is quite a long trail. And like I said, you're up and down, you're in and out of the wash, you're in sand sometime, very little shade. But boy, what a reward at the end. Just a fantastic sight. You will notice, and it won't take you long once you get there, to realize in what layer of sediment the petrified wood is mostly in. Sure, you'll find pieces in the bottom of the wash, and you'll find pieces along the trail in, just in the sand. But it has all washed down from a different layer. And that layer looks like red ancient mud. And it's in this layer that you will find these huge, huge trees and big stumps and huge logs. This layer of sediment is called the Chinle Formation. It can be look like either red mud or kind of a yellowish old mud. And that's where you're going to find petrified wood. We'd realized after we had eaten lunch there at the parking lot, we got back in our vehicles and continued our trail around the Wolverine Loop. And we noticed that this formation was in other areas around that loop. And sure enough, there was petrified wood in those areas as well. So kind of a fun educational side trip there. But realize you're in the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. There is no collecting souvenirs for your trip home. Do not pick up petrified wood and bring it home. They say that if you take petrified wood from a petrified forest, you will have bad luck until you return that petrified wood back to its petrified forest. So, just saying. We also visited some old mines in the area. Of course, we didn't enter any of the old mines, as that would be really stupid and dangerous. Many of the old mines in the area were most likely uranium mines. Best to stay out of those for obvious reasons. But we had a very fun day exploring this part of the monument. Again, it was a long day. And our side-by-side started to act up as we were headed back to the Bird Trail. I think it turned out to be vapor lock, and letting it cool down a bit and opening the gas cap seemed to help the issue, and we made it back to where we had unloaded the vehicles without any other issues. I just love the Bird Trail area. The next day, we decided to hike Calf Creek Falls. We wanted to get an early start, but our breakfast took longer to prep than we had planned. We arrived at the trailhead at about 10 a.m. It wasn't too crowded yet, so we hit the trail. But boy, the crowds did arrive. Luckily, our group was ahead of most of the visitors and got to enjoy the falls before it got too crowded. This is not a difficult hike, but it is in sand part of the way with little to no shade, and it gets really hot. Pack plenty of water. You'll be glad you did. It is not safe to drink the water in Calf Creek, as there are cattle upstream, and you don't want to get giardia. That will ruin your trip. Our group was pretty tired after the Calf Creek hike, so for the newcomers, we took them over to see the covered wagon natural bridge that we had done earlier in the week, and also the Cedar Wash Arch. Everyone seemed to love these short hikes and the scenery and the views. Then we ended the day at Devil's Garden. There were a ton of people at Devil's Garden, more than I have ever seen. But everyone still had fun seeing the arches and the bizarre rock formations. This is a very fun place for the young and old alike. This is a must stop if you're in the Grand Staircase, Escalante National Monument. Some popular attractions that we did not attempt this trip were the many slot canyons in the area, like Peekaboo or Zebra. These are very popular slot canyons, but at the first of the week, there was a threat of storms or snow melt, and by the end of the week, we were too tired to even consider it. But beautiful, beautiful slot canyons in the area. These slot canyons are tight. They actually have a little gate you can walk through to see if you fit, because if you don't fit through that little gate, you're not going to fit in the slot canyon. It's kind of like the baggage check at when you board a plane to see if your carry-on's going to fit. So just be aware that if you're on the bigger side like I am, these slot canyons may not be the best slot canyons for you to see. But don't worry, Utah's got plenty of gorgeous slot canyons that will handle us, you know, double, triple X size people without any problem. Well, folks, this is big country in this area. You're going to put a lot of miles on your vehicles and a lot of miles on your feet to see what there is to see. The Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument takes up miles and miles and miles of area. So be prepared for that. But do plan a visit to this area. You will not be disappointed. Well, folks, that's it for part two of this poorly planned two-part series. We would like your feedback on what you thought of our feeble attempt anyway. So drop us an email. Do you like this format? Would you rather we just tell you, you know, kind of the stories of the area? Or would you like us to try to do another live broadcast on location? Let us know. We love to hear your feedback. You can always email us at info@undiscoveredutah.com. Excuse me. Remember, you can find us on the internet at undiscoveredutah.com or on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And be sure to follow us. Also, tell your friends about us. Spread the word. We need to get the word out there so that we can keep doing this podcast. So if you like the podcast, share it with your friends. Just tell them to search for Undiscovered Utah. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Undiscovered Utah. Join me next time as I share more about the great Southwest. Good night, everybody.